Isaiah chapter 13 tonight, and I'm going to get right into it. Chapter 13. The title of my message tonight is God Send Us a Preacher. God Send Us a Preacher. At this point of the scripture and the text, we've moved from the prophecy about the soon coming king into a present day crisis for the nation of Israel, particularly northern Israel. They have been taken over by Assyria, and baby Babylon is rising. And the prophet preacher Isaiah gives a strict warning about the day of judgment, the end times, the millennium, which I will be talking about on Sunday as we finish the Simple Gospel series. I'm going to be talking about how it all ends. And I'm going to be trying to fix you mid-trib and post-trib people like Dr. Collins back there and get y'all on the right track. I'm just kidding. There are a lot of different views on the rapture and the end of times. We're going to discuss them all. I'm going to tell you biblically what I believe, and we're going to get to the meat of it all in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we're just going to celebrate the fact that Jesus is coming. Amen? I don't care when you think he's coming, or I don't even care what your opinion is about that. You shouldn't care mine. The good news is he's coming. Amen? That's one thing that's not up for debate, is Jesus is coming back, and we're excited about that. But it's so powerful that Isaiah, 100 years before Babylon would be the empire, Babylon would take over. Babylon hasn't even risen to power yet, and the prophet Isaiah is talking about a present-day Babylon, but he also gets into, towards the end of the chapter, and even in chapter 14, he gets into a future Babylon that we're already seeing signs of. A world system, one world currency, people making alliances with one another. All this moves towards the millennium. And Isaiah, 3,000 plus years ago, saw a picture of it. Later, Daniel would expound on that picture, but he saw a picture of what was to come, and that's what this chapter is all about. But I titled the sermon, God Send Us a Preacher, because every time God's about to do something, he sends a preacher. Every time God's about to do something, he sends a preacher or a prophet. He sends someone to warn the nations that he loves, and we know he loves Israel. But I'm going to mess with your mind. Does God love America? Doesn't say anything about that in here. We know he loves Israel. He loves his people that live in America, but doesn't really say anything about America. But I tell you what, because of the blood of Jesus, we're all one. But I believe God is patient with all nations. And I believe God wants us to get right with him. And God wants us to do right. And God wants us to put him first. And he will not laugh at murdering babies and blatant sin in front of his face forever. We're in a dispensation of grace as a world right now. Not as a nation, as a world. We are under what's called theologically as the dispensation of grace, which means we've got a lot of freedom and we've got a lot of mercy, and thank God for it. Yes. But there comes a time, biblically, where that ends and the judgment comes, and that's what our text is about today. God Send Us a Preacher. The burden against Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos saw. Lift up a banner on the high mountain. Isn't that what the church ought to be doing? Isn't that what preachers ought to be doing? Lifting up a banner on a high mountain. And that's what the church ought to be. A high place that people can see. A light, a city on a hill. That's what the church ought to be. Raise your voice to them. Wave your hand that they may enter the gates of the nobles. I've commanded my sanctified ones. I've also called my mighty ones for my anger, for those who rejoice in my exaltation. The noise of a multitude in the mountains like that of many people. A tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts musters the army for battle. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven. The Lord and his weapons of indignation to destroy the whole land. Well, for the day of the Lord is at hand. Whenever you see the day of the Lord, that's the day of wrath, the day of judgment. He moves from a present-day Babylon to an end-times Babylon right here in this transition. Well, For the day of the Lord is at hand. It will come as destruction from Almighty. Therefore, all hands will be limp. Every man's heart will melt, and they will be afraid. Pangs and sorrows will take hold of them. They will be in pain as a woman in childbirth. They will be amazed at one another. Their faces will be like flames. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he will destroy its sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth. This is when Jesus comes back. This is during the millennium. And the moon will not cause its light to shine. I will punish the world for its evil. Man, that's not a popular message anymore, is it? I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will halt the arrogance of the proud and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a mortal more rare than fine gold, a man more than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth will move out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. My goodness. So we know that that's what we have ahead of us. Should we fear? Absolutely not. We're to have Christ, the hope of glory, on the inside of us. But there is coming a time, prophesied by Isaiah, wept over by Jeremiah, articulated by Daniel, where God will come and he will judge Babylon. It happened then, and it will happen again during the end times. I have a little map, and I want you to see this map if we have it. But Isaiah prophesied this, and Assyria, which you see up there by Nineveh, Assyria was the empire. It was the big boy on campus. And Isaiah prophesied this nearly 100 years before Babylon would take over. That process started. But everything you see, it's hard to kind of see the color, but whatever you see is pink. You see all that pink. It started right there on that little dot that said Babylon, and they took over. And that's exactly a prophetic picture of what will happen again at the end times. And I wanted you to see that. Whenever you see the word Babylon in Scripture, and this has to do with present-day Babylon that took place 3,000 years ago, but also it has to do with the future. Whenever you see the word Babylon, it has to do with a world power that overthrows God in government. Whenever you see Babylon, that's what it has to do with. And later we would see this with Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel. And so it's important that we understand what God is trying to say to us in this hour. But God sent this crazy dude named Isaiah in his sandals, his wild-looking hair, all the robe, weird as a duck. Nobody took him serious. God sent a preacher. Let me tell you something. God still sends a prophet or a preacher to warn nations about the destruction and the condemnation that's coming their way if they don't repent. I am a grace guy. I am a mercy guy. I couldn't change that if I tried. My dad always says, you preach on hell and people like you. I preach on heaven and they hate me. And we joke about that because grace is my natural gift. Mercy, it's just why God put me on earth. Prophecy is more his thing. That's why God put him on earth. Everybody's different. But I always worry that I'm not being hard enough with the truth for some of you, because I know that there has to be a balance. If your pastor is prophetic, there needs to be a grace and mercy balance. If your pastor's grace and mercy like me, there needs to be a prophetic balance. That's why I will bring a Dr. Robert Jeffries in here that's meaner than a striped snake, because every now and then I need to hear somebody that's meaner than a striped snake to keep me on track. And what a mighty little man he is. I mean, he will not back down. I thought, here it is, All-American Day, and his message is the coming impending doom of America. You know, I thought, my God, you're not trying to win any awards for that title, are you? But that's just him. He's a prophet. He tells it like it is. He couldn't be sweet if he tried, because God's called him to warn people about what they're going to have to deal with if they don't repent. We all have to operate in our gifting, but a pastor, I have to bring you it all. And if I can't naturally do it, then I will bring a voice in here to do it, because I want you to have it all. I want you to have kingdom. I want you to have prophecy. I want you to have evangelism, outreach. All of those things, you have to have them all in a church. But God sends preachers to warn nations that are going the wrong way. He also sends preachers to warn people that are going the wrong way. I can't tell you how many times in my life that God sent weird preachers towards me that didn't even have anything to do with my dad. One time I was waiting for the Lord, and I had a guy build me a deck, and he was the weirdest guy ever, and he hated this church, and he had long hair. He looked like a hippie. And he told me he started smoking pot to quit smoking cigarettes, and at the time I thought that was awesome. But now I don't really understand how that happened, but that's what he told me. He was weird, but he loved God. He was crazy. He's one of those cross-carrying guys. And God sent him to speak to me when I was away from the Lord, man. And God will send people. How many of you, God sent you somebody? It doesn't have to be a pastor, but a prophet, somebody with a word from God for you. How many of you would say that somebody spoke into your life when you're away from the Lord? That you can remember a specific time. God always sends somebody. Always. My first point to you tonight. God send us a preacher, and this is prophetic. God send us a preacher committed to the Word of God. Lord, send us a preacher that's committed to the Word of God. There are a lot of gifted preachers out there. It's become an art. It's become a craft. It's become a gift. You're taught that gift. You're taught how to communicate. Some are born with it. It's a natural thing. But I fear that in this current culture, we've fallen in love with gifts more than truth. And I fear that we're too busy looking at the kind of clothes people wear, the color of their watch, whether they're fat, skinny, tall, good-looking, whatever it is, and we're not focused on the truth of God's Word. And I'm telling you, we've got to get back to God's Word, because this culture, they don't know the difference in the Quran and the Bible. They don't know the difference. And if we're not true to God's Word when we stand behind a pulpit, we're going to commit error, and we're going to lead people astray. So I'm asking God to send us a preacher committed to the Word of God. Our nation needs one. That's what it says, the burden against Babylon, which Isaiah saw. This wasn't a message to begin with. It was a vision. God gave Isaiah a vision 100 years ahead of time that the nation would fall. But what did he do with the vision? He prophesied about it. He spoke about it. He let it come out of his mouth. He didn't shrug it down and write it in a journal. He spoke out. He did something with it. It says, lift a banner on the high mountain and raise your voice. God's called you to speak truth, speak the truth. When God gets ready to say something, he raises up a preacher. Isaiah was a man of vision. A preacher should be a man of vision. God gave him a vision, and real preaching comes not only from the Word, but it comes from a man of vision. A preacher must know God and the world in which he lives. Isaiah also understood the spiritual life. He understood the heavenlies. I don't want to hear from a preacher that doesn't believe in spiritual things, and I don't want to hear from one that doesn't stick to the Word of God. I want to hear from someone who I know believes in the supernatural and who is committed to the Word of God. That's why some people are like, who are your favorite preachers? I'm like, some of my favorite preachers you ain't even heard of. Because I don't fall for flash. I fall for this. And I know the difference in somebody who's putting on a show and somebody who's getting in the Word. There's just a difference. And you need to understand. The word burden in Hebrew is nasah, and it means to carry a heavy load. A real preacher, the kind that we're asking God to send us, to send our nation, carries a heavy burden. It's a burden. It's a heavy load. It weighs you down. You go to bed with it. You wake up with it. It never leaves. It's the weight, the burden of God. You know, it's so much easier to speak the blessing of God than it is the burden of God. I could preach about the blessing all day long and I'd enjoy it, but when I get to talking about something that burdens my spirit or burdens my heart or that ought to be a burden to you, it's weighty. It's heavy. God send us a preacher connected to the will of God. Not just committed to the Word of God, but send us a preacher connected to the will of God. Yes, sir. It's all about self-help, purpose-driven, all of these things now. But I'm looking for a preacher that is connected to the will of God. That's willing to lay down their prerogatives and their own position if God's not in it.
That's right. That's right.
Because honestly, a preacher ought to be willing to lay it all down. Because it's all about Jesus anyways. God send us a preacher connected, as Isaiah was, to the will of God. It says in verse 3, I've commanded my sanctified ones, those who've been set apart. I've also called my mighty ones for my anger, those who rejoice in my exaltation. So God connects and covenants and partners with people who lift his name up. Even in the midst of destruction and curse, God remembers those who praise him. So there may be a curse falling on something or someone, but if you lift God up and you know him and you are one of his sanctified ones that exalts his name, you're covered. Why? Because you're connected to the will of God.
Yes, sir.
God, send us a preacher committed to the word of God, but send us one that is connected to the will of God. I don't have time to get into the different wills tonight, but I'll give you a quick overview. There's the sovereign will of God. That's God's ultimate plan, but you have to choose to get on that. You have to choose to get in on God's sovereign will. But he has a wonderful plan. He predestined a path for you the day you were born in the book of Romans, and you choose to get in on it. He's got a beautiful sovereign plan for you. But then you have a free will, and you don't have to go that way. You can choose to do whatever you want to do. There's his sovereign will, and there's your free will, and they are always at odds. And then there's a submissive will. And this is hard. It only happens by the hero within. It only happens by the Holy Spirit. Submissive will is when you recognize God's sovereign will. It's not what you want to do, but you submit to the sovereign will, and it becomes a submissive will. You submit your will to his, and then you get caught up, as it says in Ecclesiastes, in the wind of the Spirit. Submissive will. So at some point, it's his way or your way. That's what this whole Christian experience is about. And many of us battle with both our whole lives. It's the flesh and spirit battle. The Galatians battle. Be led by the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But at some point, you have to understand. And then there's the permissive will. Remember what Jesus said to Satan? Remember when God was trying to buffet Job?
Yes.
He permitted, right? He permitted him to mess with Job. Just said, don't touch him. You can take everything. Sometimes God will permit things. His permissive will. Sovereign, submissive, free, permissive.
Yes.
Permit things to happen because there's an ultimate purpose for you to go through what you're going through to get to where God wants you to get to help somebody that's unreached. That doesn't, nobody preaches that anymore, but it's the truth. God will let you go through hell if his kingdom purpose is at the end of it, or even in the middle of it. God will permit you to go through stuff. I wish he hadn't sometimes. But all things work together for the good for those called according to his purpose. God send us a preacher connected to the will of God. There are six prominent sins that destroy nations. In the next 10 chapters, we'll cover this. Chapter 13 through chapter 23, there are 10 nations. But there are six sins. Y'all write this down if you got a notepad. Y'all to bring one on Wednesday night because we get deep into nerdy stuff. Six sins that destroy nations, and they're going to surprise you. They're going to surprise you. Listed right here in chapter 13 and 14 all the way through 23. The first one is anti-Semitism. You can call it racism, and that would work as well. Racism destroys nations. But in this text, it's anti-Semitism. It's hating Jews. I hate to say this to you, but those are God's people. We are too, but we are grafted into that line. Anti-Semitism, Arabia, Philistia, these are two nations that God destroyed because of racism and anti-Semitism. Next is debauchery. What is that? That's the drug culture we see. That's sorcery. That's drug culture. That's sex culture. That's doing wild stuff and not caring about the diseases you could get, not caring, just you're totally led by the flesh. It's not sovereign will. It's not submissive will. It's flesh stuff. You're governed by what feels good 24/7. It's America right now. Whatever feels good. Debauchery. Babylon. This is what will be going on when the rapture of the church takes place, when Jesus comes back for his people. It's because there is so much chaos and nonsense going on that he says, I'm pulling my remnant out of that. Debauchery. Pride. Moab. Chapter 16, verse 6, Isaiah. Moab, pride. It's always the fall of everything from Satan on. You know, and how many of you can tell when a preacher gets into that? I can. You know, I have preacher friends, you can tell, have the most godliest man or woman ever. God starts promoting them, anointing them, blessing them. You can see it happen. You can see the pride take over, and it ain't long before the fall comes. You watch it. I've seen it time and time again. I know you have too, Brother Jones. God elevates, He promotes, but pride causes you to fall. And it's in every aspect of your life. You get to thinking you're untouchable. You get to thinking you're above the law. In humanity, I think you could put abortion under here. It's the murder of children, doing inhumane things to people, not paying your taxes, not paying people back, stealing, murdering, all of those things. Syria, Ethiopia, Edom, all these mentioned right here that I showed you on the map. Then the occult, Egypt. This is worshiping other gods, Satanism, all of those things, and materialism. Tire. We start to, it's all about what we can get and bless. The spirit of generosity goes away. You know, even the government, even with this administration, it's never talked about, but they've changed how you can give to churches. So some people are now giving they're giving a huge lump sum every 2 years because of the way the tax bracket's set up. They can't give regularly anymore. It's hurting the churches, man. And whenever it gets to be about us and how much money we can make and how awesome we are, and it's not about serving others, then you're going to see the churches start to crumble. We need to stand in the gap against that. But does this remind you of anywhere? I mean, these six things destroyed these 10 nations in the Babylonian Empire. These six sins destroyed these nations. And we are struggling with all of them as a nation right now. All of them. I'll close right here. And we'll get into more of this next week. God send us a preacher convicted by the wrath of God. Committed to the Word of God, connected to the will of God, convicted by the wrath of God. And that's what this chapter is about. What is God's wrath? It is both present and in the future. There are consequences for what you do as a nation and as an individual right now, but there are consequences in the future that are far weightier and heavier than what you'll go through on this earth. There is a future judgment coming. It's called the Day of the Lord. It's called the Millennium. It is coming. We'll talk about that more Sunday, but you need to understand. Here's what it says in our text, verse 6. It will come as destruction from the Almighty. This will not be Satan attacking. This is God reaping judgment on a nation. Therefore, all hands will be limp. Every man's heart will melt. I tell you, this is positive church-filling preaching right here, isn't it? And they will be afraid. Pains and sorrows will take hold of them. They will be in pain as a woman in childbirth. They will be amazed at one another. Their faces will be like flames. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel with both wrath and fierce anger. Well, God's a loving God. Yes, He is. We're in a dispensation of grace. But let me tell you, He does not play around when He's done. He's given us so many chances as a church, as a nation, as a world to honor Him. Think of how upset you get when someone does something against the name of God or your faith. Imagine how he feels watching all these things play out. And he's still giving us grace and opportunities. The day of the Lord will come. So I titled this, God Send Us a Preacher. Yes, there's going to be times of war, disease, terror, and death, but God send us a preacher. Why? Because every time the enemy starts to gain victory, God's wrath comes, and it comes, but it was warned by a preacher. God's wrath is fearful, but it's final. It's fearful, and it's final. It will come. It's present and in the future, but it's fearful, and it's final. Babylon will be restored and judged again at the end. And we will be judged. And we have to understand that. But I've asked God to send us an Isaiah, or send us a Jeremiah, or send us an Apostle Peter, who maybe would deny the Lord, but would be restored by the Lord and preach the greatest sermon that was very simple and see thousands saved on Pentecost. Send us a Paul who maybe was a murderer and fighting the religion, but who would be blinded on Damascus Road, be saved, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and would take the gospel to all of Europe. I mean, we need a preacher. God, send us a preacher. How about Ambrose in the 300s? What God did through that Italian preacher, thousands of people saved. John Jasper, the great African-American preacher, thousands of people saved. Augustine, Wycliffe, Martin Luther, the Reformation. God did things. Every time he was about to do something through a great awakening or whatever, he'd send a preacher. How about John Calvin, John Wesley? God sent preachers. How about Billy Graham? How about W.A. Criswell? How about Martin Luther King Jr. for social justice? Every time God was about to do something, destroy something, or restore something, he sends a voice. How about John Osteen? Baptist. But God touched him with the Holy Spirit. Trailblazer. And we've got so many others in our Baptist faith in the Pentecostal world. I couldn't go on without mentioning Jakes or Jensen. My God, look what they've done in the kingdom now. Look what we're doing. Look what our pastor emeritus did for the Baptist world with the Holy Spirit. But more than that, friend, did you know there are preachers that no one's ever heard of, that don't have a YouTube channel, that churches aren't big? They got 30 people in them, but they spend 30 years loving those people and visit them in the hospital, and they baptize their kids, and they do it for nothing. But they keep cities like this one on track. They keep the kids educated and saved, and they take care of families. There are preachers from coast to coast. Yes, some we've all heard of, but some you'll never hear of. And they're just as valuable. Just as valuable. I'm telling you, we need a preacher committed to the Word of God, connected to the will of God, but concerned with the wrath of God, that's willing to tell people the truth. And here's the truth, friend. If we don't get right in this country about the Bible and the morals of God, we are in trouble. We are in trouble as a nation, but as an individual, you don't have to be. You be connected to Jesus. If you're the one that lifts up a voice in exaltation, and you worship God and you're sanctified and set apart, I'm going to tell you Sunday where we're going, when we're going, and how we're going. We're going, amen. Jesus is coming back for his church. And no matter when you believe he's coming, he's coming. Bow your head and close your eyes tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful night we've had. Wonderful offering message by Randy. All the good stuff that's going on. Lord, we thank you for the prophet Isaiah, for the weeping prophet Jeremiah, Lord, for the apostle Paul's and Peter's and Dr. King's and Billy Graham's and all the people, Lord, that have influenced us, for our preachers in this city and other cities, Lord. We just ask you, Lord, to raise up some more preachers, some teenagers, some children that'll fall in love with your word again and that won't be ashamed to stand up for what they believe in. It'll be difference makers. It'll be truth agents, that it won't be about style or money or fame or all of that worldly stuff that destroys nations. It'll be about an authentic call to do what's right, to be faithful, and make a difference. Heavenly Father, anoint this auditorium. Send us people that need you, that need your word, that need fellowship, that need companionship. Light a fire in our souls to share our faith again, to invite, to invest. Lord, I pray this church would continue to be molded together as family. They would continue to be connected. They would continue to pray for one another. Lord, I pray for these fall groups, these growth groups. Lord, you'd put your super on the natural, that you'd bless them, you'd send us people to minister to. Lord, I pray for the confidence, the Holy Ghost confidence in people to rise. People that don't feel like they're worthy to share their faith, Lord, I pray that they would realize who they are in you and they would start to share their faith. I pray that, Lord, this grace message, this message of being a house of grace, which is what we are, I pray that that would, Lord, just start to manifest itself in this city, that they would know that the people of this church are grace people. We're second, third, fourth chance people. We're restoration people. We're you can do it again people. We're you've been divorced, but we'll put you back together and help you start your life over. We, Lord, are committed to the vision you gave us, and that's to be a house of grace. And so, Lord, teach us to be that. May our homes be houses of grace. May we give our kids grace. Lord knows we need it. They need it. May we give our grandchildren grace. May we give our friends and co-workers grace. But Lord, not without truth. May we love people enough to balance that grace with truth. Lord, I bless the people here tonight. I pray that right now, by the power of your Spirit, you'd lift them up. Lord, you'd build them up. You'd give them strength for the road. Strength to finish. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. I went a little long tonight. We went a little long earlier, but we love you. And we'll see you back here on Sunday. I'd love to see you before you go. Shake two or three hands, hug a few people and before you go. But we love you all. We'll see you back on Sunday morning, okay? And we'll finish this rapture preaching, teaching Sunday. We'll finish it with an exclamation point. God bless y'all. Y'all pray for Kelly and I as we leave. We'll see you back here on Sunday morning. Take care.